Welcome to another Comm Box Watch Along. We have rain for what will be, when we get there, a very, very exciting game between Rajasthan Royals and RCB. Actually, you don't know about this, but I've just had a fascinating conversation in the group. I said to the group, it's raining. Can we come up with a podcast idea? And Saurabh and Varun come up with this really good idea. Cheyenne, they're all talking about it. They're really excited. And then I was like, great, let's get on the podcast. Right? And Saurabh's like, oh, I'm not available. Varun's like, I'm not available for an hour. And then Cheyenne just disappears on us all together.
I said I was coming.
Yeah, but you're fucking late. The game was already supposed to have started. What are you doing? Stop playing with yourself.
Has the game started?
No, but the broadcast starts when the game starts, Cheyenne. I don't know if you know how these things work.
Stop coming up with an excuse
that no one cares about. Tell us what the topic is so that we can get into this. And then we'll, as the rain eases off, we think at the moment now we're not too far away. So we'll give you the information on the match as we know it. But we had a topic that we thought we could talk about that Cheyenne has been doing so many notes on that he was late to the recording. So Cheyenne, tell us what you wanted to, or what, sorry, tell us what the other two guys wanted us to talk about and then ghosted us on.
Yeah, so the topic was basically, was Shreyas Iyer's, should KKR have retained Shreyas Iyer in the first place? Was his non-retention justified? Like, that is the argument here, essentially.
Okay. So, I think now the common consensus, if I can put it out for everyone, is that most people believe that it was a horrible mistake and that they shouldn't have done it at that time. I would have to go back and have a look at the notes and everything else of what I had written at the time, but I don't remember. I always thought it was a bit odd, though, because there aren't that many Indian batters of that quality in their prime, right, who you get rid of. I think what's made it look worse is that Shreyas is better now than he was at KKR, right?
Exactly.
But that last year, Cheyenne, I don't know how you replace a batter who averages 40 with a strike rate of 147. It was 147 or 143? I just lost it. Right?
147, yes.
140. So you've got a guy about to hit his peak. I think he was about to hit, 28, 29 at this point? Or was around 28, 29?
Yeah.
And you say to yourself, no, we're going to go with a guy called Venki Iyer, who's played very few games, right? And isn't as battle-tested and isn't at the same level of talent. And Dre Russ, who comes off a great year, but is 1,000 years old and has knees who are 2,000 years old, right? I think even with that, there aren't that many players who are captaincy material and absolutely dead certainties in your middle order that are available. So I can understand why fans are looking at it from that perspective and thinking that this wasn't a good idea. Cheyenne, what's your rebuttal?
See, essentially, I think we are obviously warping our opinions with the current version of Shreyas Iyer, who is an elite player of pace as well as spin. Back when he had that great season, back when we had a very good season with KKR, I wouldn't say it was a great season simply because he didn't have to do a whole lot. Salt and Narayan were scoring all the runs, and that meant Shreyas could do his job against spin. Like, he was a solid role player for me. And I mean, he was a good captain as well. And
I think averaging 40s over it, right? A role player, though, isn't it?
Jared, I mean, the true strike rate, I think, is about par for that season, if I'm not wrong. Yeah. And
I don't think you're a role player if you're averaging 40. Like, that's carrying a big load, man.
Let me look this up. Anyway, so while I'm talking about that, the point being that, you know, if you look at that KKR team, there are so many options of players that you wanted to retain in the first place. So for we had, first of all, their biggest retention was Rinku Singh, who they retained for 13 crore, which is more than fair, I think. I think we can all agree on that. Simply because you don't get finishers of Rinku's quality. Now, what has happened after that is perhaps something none of us could have seen coming, that he has not really had the same amount of returns. But he was winning them games. In 2024, he didn't have to do a whole lot, I will give you that. But that was a function of the top order having the season.
I've got no problem with keeping Rinku at 13 crore, was it? That seems
Rinku
fair.
They had at 13, correct.
Yep.
Then they had Varun at 12, which has to be a steal, right? Like, none of us are arguing that, for sure. And even with his current form, like, that is very recent, like, very, very recent. Now, in hindsight, you can say anything, but I think at that point, he was one of the hottest properties in the market when it comes to spin bowling, right? Then you've got Sunil Narayan for 12 crore. I think that is also fair. He had perhaps the greatest season for any player ever in the IPL in 2024, when you look at it from an all-round perspective. I mean, nobody was able to hit him. He was taking wickets. He was scoring runs at a very, very brisk pace. So I again, I think they had to keep him. Andre Russell, who they have for 12 crore. Now, your logic about his, him having knee issues and getting on, I think that is fair. But how do you not keep him when he has the season that he does in 2024, right? Like, he's one of their important players in that year.
Yes, but the other way of looking at this, and we talked about it at the time, is there was always a chance within 1 to 2 years that Narine and Andre Russell were going to be done, right?
Fair.
And so this is a new cycle,
Yeah.
right? So if it's a new cycle, who is the better option here? You can't replace Andre Russell, right? But chances are in the mega auction, they weren't going to be able to replace Freyas Iyer either.
I think
Just
that
to
is
chip
fair.
in here, I
Go.
mean,
Sorry, actually, you're part of this. It's just because we've already been chatting about this on the other group.
exactly. This
Yes,
topic
please.
is more of an extempo for me where I'll just have to improvise on the go and come up with points. I
Yes.
do agree with what Shayan had to say. 2024 walking heading into the auction, if you ask me, had KKR done the right move, I don't think it was a wrong move per se. But having seen what they did at the auction, spending 23.75 on Venki Iyer and some of their
Yeah.
buys, that definitely in hindsight makes it even more stupid. Also, about Varun Chakravarti, what you spoke about him being retained for 12 crores, we need to remember that he was retained for 12 crores, but the purse deduction was 18. He was their fifth retention, making him an 18 crore deduction from the purse. And that for me, even then, was a very stupid move because I'm not going to look at how much Varun Chakravarti is actually costing. It's not the 12 crore number that matters, it's the 18 crore number
Fair,
because that's
fair,
the
fair.
deduction. And I did not believe Varun Chakravarti would have gone for 18 crores at the auction. And that's where I couldn't understand why did they have to do that. Same goes for Ramandeep Singh. I felt in terms of the retentions, the fact that they had already sort of they'd already reduced their purse by what 79 crores, I want to say 79, 79.5, because in each of this they completed all of the six slots. I felt that's where they probably lost the plot. They really went overboard in trying to retain their players. We all remember that extremely popular quote by Venki Mysore. When he spoke about buying Venki, he was like, we are not the kind of team who lets go of our players. We want to buy back everyone we want. We saw that in the 2022 mega auction as well. They went after Pat Cummins. They went after Nitish Rana. They went after Shivamavi. We've seen this pattern with them where they want to go after their players or go back to their players. So having seen all of this, Shreyas Iyer, them not. I don't know if there was any bad blood there. But yeah, it was very bizarre for me. Having seen how the action auction panned out, that was a very bizarre move for sure.
So I'm just having a look here at the numbers in 2024 of Shreyas Iyer. That year, he averages 28 at a strike rate of 144 against pace. So that is the year we and I was commentating on that year, and so I remember quite, I was doing a lot of Cricket 8 stuff, and I remember saying he looks so much better against pace. The pattern was already there, right? We had seen it that year against
Oh, he
spin.
was.
That year against spin, he averaged 129 against the spinning ball
Yeah,
with a strike rate of
exactly.
151. Now, so if we go Moneyball on this, right? You
Yeah.
have to be able to recreate it. No one thought that Narine was going to have a bunch of more incredible batting seasons because it had never
Agreed.
been consistent before. The Narine Russell thing absolutely makes sense because it's such a dynamic partnership. But if you take it into that part of the mega auction, right? At best, you think that you might still be competitive by year two, right? So I'm happy for them to have done that with Andre Russell. But then why spend 23 crore on a guy who had been wildly inconsistent, who was a late bloomer, it wasn't like he's a sky late
Yeah.
bloomer either, right?
Definitely.
When you could have spent 5 more crore on a player who gives you extra skill because he's a captain as well,
Correct.
might
Yeah.
be one of the best players of spin. So I just think
Sorry.
that I think it's hard to say that KKR made the right decisions. If you say they made the right decisions with retentions, I think then you have to
Correct.
say that they had to win in 2025, right? Or hope that Andre Russell was still here. The other thing I would say just about injuries in general, like just about Andre Russell in general, I would hope, and I could be wrong on this, guys, that they know more about Andre Russell's knees than the rest of us do,
Correct.
right? We know that every year it was a strain for him to get back on that field.
Yeah.
So you're taking a big chance to be able to do that, right? There isn't another Andre Russell. No other team was going to be able to get him for more than 1 or 2 years anyway. Whereas once you go, it's very hard to get KL Rahul or Virat Kohli or any of
Money.
these players, right? In the auctions,
Yeah.
right? It's really hard to get them. And so I just think from that perspective, and that's one of the reasons Shreyas Iyer went for so much money, right?
He did.
It's not because of how good he is, because we all agree he went for too much money, and we all talked about that at the time. But we also said the reason people have paid him is he's an Indian player coming into his prime, and he can give them captaincy. That means that we can make the argument that he wasn't worth that much money, but he was specifically worth that much if you're trying to build a franchise around someone, right? Yeah. And I think this is the thing that I have the issue with of... I get that Andre Russell is really, really hard to replace and that they would have had to change the way that they went about things. But I just, I don't think they understood how hard Trey Asiah was to replace.
Now, Jared, I think the argument here would be, would Shreyas be retained for, say, 12 crore? Or how much would you retain him for in the first place? Would he also not know his market value and want to be retained for a higher amount?
No, I think it's fair. Let's go with their logic and say that they didn't want to retain him at that point, right? Mm. The argument really is that they have to retain him in the auction, that they actually that just go and buy him, right?
That I cannot disagree with you at all. Right? I mean, Jared.
So if that's what I'm saying, I think it's okay to say we don't have him here, but I don't really understand why you don't retain him in the auction and you go for a player that cannot... cannot be at the same level of quality.
Of course.
So I don't think KKR were ever intending to sort of let go of him entirely. He was very much a part of their plans and he was also approved by them. You know, when the retentions happened, it's not like they completely sort of went cold turkey on him and like, yeah, we don't want him anymore. The disagreement stemmed from the fact he believed, you know, he deserved more than 18 crores and KKR... again, rightfully so, believe that he probably doesn't deserve the 22, 23, 24, whatever he was expecting. Mm. Once again, the question then is, why didn't Rahul went for 14 crores? I still don't understand. There were options available. I would still say, to add to what Jared said, they probably underestimated how difficult it would be to replace Ayer. I still believe there were options available, but they just ignored all of them. They ignored each and every option available of the very few that were there. And they went after Venki Ayer like a mad... like, I don't know. Okay, I should probably hold on to my words a bit.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Venki is he actually has a good year in 2024, right?
He does,
but
yeah.
How old would he have been? Sorry, I'm just trying to get his age. So he's like 39. But he's not coming off the back of like bunches of good years, right? So in 2021 he had a very good year in terms of average. Remember, everyone was really excited about him.
Exactly.
But his strike rate wasn't particularly good. And
UAE, Jared. I think that some of that would be UAE.
Oh no, I'm just saying. But either way, I mean, everyone was really excited about him. I kept saying, guys, he gets stuck all the time. This guy, right? Yeah. Like you know, he is. The next year he averages 17. Right? Strike rate of 107. Great. Everyone has a bad year. I can write that off. The following year, he averages 28 at a strike rate of 145. Right? And then he has one good year. The chances are that there is going to be one or two just, not even bad years, but just gearing back years at that point. And yet it doesn't seem to, like, and so if you're going to pay 23 crore for someone, surely there has to be a banker. Right now, if you look at Shreyas Iyer is a banker, not in terms of his overall career, because as we just said, he was up and down as well. But he's a banker in the terms of, you know, he's going to average over 30, right? No matter what. His worst year, I'm just trying to think. So Shreyas Iyer, Jesus Christ, he's consistent. Shreyas Iyer, other than six games for Delhi in 2016, had never averaged under 30, right? So at the very least, you're getting consistent runs out of him. But then on the other side, you're also getting the captaincy, right? Which is another skill that you're going to have to bring in. I just don't see how, if you're doing the maths, right, the 23 crores plays off against the 28, unless you suddenly think that Venki is going to bowl like three overs a game or maybe not three, even two overs a game.
Yeah.
Can I chip in here? Like,
you can chip in anytime.
I have travelled the cricketing world, and so I've collected two things, the phone numbers of random taxi drivers and overseas SIM cards. Rideshare apps have fixed the first part, and Sally is doing the second. Now, all you need is their eSIM on whatever plan works for you. You activate it, and you can use it anywhere in the cricketing world. It helps you save money. It is a global solution to a global problem. Stop fiddling with tiny SIMs and get the one that does it all. Go to Sally.com Good Areas and use the code Good Areas to get an exclusive 15% off your first purchase. Fly free with Sally.
I completely agree with what you said on Iyer. Yeah. Again, I don't think KKR ever thought that Venki Iyer was going to go for 23.75. For what it's worth, I've heard from credible sources that RCB themselves had earmarked 15 crores for Venki. Their plan was to stop at 15. But because Venki Iyer was such a big part of their plans, they decided to go a bit further. And I think they'd also saved some money earlier on Livingston and the likes. And importantly, KKR had already lost out on Iyer. Iyer was already sold by then to Punjab Kings. There were no other names left. Rishabh Pant had been sold. KL Rahul had been sold. Venki Iyer, in all likelihood, was the last. I mean, you can probably call him Marky. That's still a bit of a stretch. But arguably the last marquee Indian batter available in the auction who could potentially also offer you a bit of a leadership choice. He's supposed to be a nice guy, provides a positive energy in the environment. All of those things might have also somewhere played a role. And that's where I think it's one of those things what Joy Bhattacharya calls the IKEA effect, wherein they knew that this is the last piece available, there's nothing else. So we have to bloody hell put all our eggs in this Venki Iyer basket. So yeah, unfortunately, I don't want to believe the dynamics also somewhere played a role in him getting the price he did.
Okay, so the other way of looking, though, at this is it wasn't just too, like, there was actually plenty of proof at this stage that a lot of Indian batters were going to be overpaid.
Yeah.
Right? So Rishabh goes for 28 as well. Was it 28?
27.
Yes. 27, yeah. I knew it was roughly around there. Shreyas has already gone for money or going to go for money at that point as well, right? So I get what you're saying, actually, but at a certain point, you have to realize that the auction is not the auction that you had planned for. This is one of the problems with the auctions. It's so hard to plan for an auction. And so it turns what is a professional league into a far more amateur situation, right?
But what you call a bug is a feature for me. That's exactly what I love about the auction, seeing teams completely be in disarray.
Yeah, but I mean, just if you want professional teams to make good decisions, it's a pain in the ass, right? Like, they're going to make mistakes as it is. I don't need them to go out of their way and make them even worse. But the point being is, I think you have to also then read the room in this. And like, as someone who's been through a couple of auctions in my time, there's a certain point at which you actually have to be in a situation and be like, what we came in valuing these players at is not what the market is currently valuing them at, right? And so we can all sit there and say that, you know, these players were overpaid or, you know, these players were, went or whatever it may be. But I think you have to go, okay, so whatever reason, Indian batting is getting paid today, right? And so if you have that opportunity, in which direction do you need to go, right? And there's probably some other players that they overpaid as well, right? If we go back and...
I mean, Jared, has to be the anomaly there. Sorry, Shan.
Yeah, that is the biggest one. But Jared, I have a very interesting point, actually. So I was going through Shreyas Iyer's
options. I hope you have an interesting point, Shan. Otherwise, what are we doing here?
In the 2025 mega auction, they capped it at 10 crores. So they didn't go after 9.75 is essentially what happens. And then after that, it's the other teams that take over from there. So Delhi and Punjab keep bidding. I believe it is them who keep bidding till the end. Yeah, it is Delhi and Punjab who keep bidding right till the end. Tells us that perhaps they had a value for Shreyas Iyer in mind. Maybe they were like, cap it at 10. We can't go for Shreyas Iyer for more than 10 CR. It's just purely based on his cricket.
Okay.
But then
which I think that's fair, what you've just said. If that's the case, then they've made a horrible mistake, haven't they? They've completely misunderstood what the market is going to do. And also, I would argue, more importantly, forget the market for a minute, they've actually misunderstood the worth of a player like him in that kind of a situation.
Yeah. Also, when we did the IPL big boards, we also had Shreyas really high. Like, he was second for us, I believe. After Rishabh, we had Shreyas. So we knew that he was going to go for money. Like, whether you like it or not, he is someone who's going to peak.
And we're not smart, right? Like, as in, we've made plenty of mistakes if you go through. And we probably, how long would we have spent on that big board, Sean? Like,
not a whole lot, like 2-3-4 days max.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Not a whole lot of time.
And all we were doing is reading the tea leaves of what teams needed, right? And understanding, you know, one of my big things was that a local player who is a banker, right, is worth a lot of money. Especially when you know they have anything secondary to come about with.
Also, just think KKR's defense about Shreyas Iyer. Sure, they stopped bidding at 10 crores, but it could potentially be that the cap was anywhere between 10 and say 25. The cap could have been 25. But because Punjab Kings had already placed that bid at, I mean, yeah, they went up to 26.75. So, yeah, they'd already sort of maxed out there. We wouldn't ever really know what the cap was. I still want to believe they weren't daft enough to cap Shreyas Iyer at 10 crores. Because
I'm just guessing it from the auction list. That's all.
Exactly. Yeah. But KL Rahul, that's the bigger shocker for me. Because KL Rahul, I think they went up to 12 for him before CSK took over. And when, I mean, you see Malika Sagar saying once, twice, you can clearly see this player's going to go at 14. Why on earth would you let KL Rahul go at 14? And same goes for Ishan Kishan. Sure, you've lost everyone else, but Ishan Kishan, I don't think is that bad a player.
We had him very high too, Akshay. Yeah. We knew he's young, he's going to peak at some point, is he not?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that was, how much did he go for that year?
14.25.
Yeah, I thought, I'm pretty sure I remember saying, and I think most people think I'm in a Shan Kishan Delta, but even I was saying, I think that's a really, really good buy. But okay, here's the other thing. One thing that helps KKR, I believe, is the order of the auction. Right? Because it's not as if they've already spent an absolute fortune by the time Shreyas Iyer comes up. Is he the second or third player that year? I'm just trying to find it on here.
And Ishan Kishan is 11.25. I stand corrected. Thanks for correcting me the comments as well.
Even better, 11.25. Also, I've got hit down here. We keep saying 28. I've got it down 26.75.
Shreyas is 26.75. Panth is 27.
Either way, close enough. I've got here, and I could be wrong, but I'm just trying to find an old website that's actually got it in the order that it came up. Arshdeep was first. Rabada was second. And Shreyas was third, right? Okay, so let's say I can't imagine anyone thought he was going to go for 10 crore, but let's say that you had him down in your list for 18 crore, right? Which is fair. I do think at a certain point, you have to actually look at, are there players later on who will be able to replicate this that we want to have in our side, right? So who goes afterwards? Rishabh Pant comes out later, right? So to a KKR realistically looking at Rishabh Pant, knowing that he was probably at this stage going to go for a similar amount? Yes, no, could be either, right? We don't know that. Who comes after that as far as local players? I'm just having a look. So I've got Rishabh.
KL Rahul. KL Rahul was there somewhere.
I've got Shemi. Wait, I'll just get to KL. He must be a bit further on. So that's after Livingston. Yeah. So he goes for 14 crore. We know a lot about how KKR plays its cricket, right? I'm going to assume they didn't think that KL Rahul was their style of player. And I'm going to assume that they didn't think that Rishabh Pant was their style of player, right? They're not left with many bankers specifically.
True.
And we've talked about this before. What are they best at with the ball, guys?
Spin.
So they have to make sure on occasion that their wickets are going to spin a little bit and help their spinners. So wouldn't you want the guy who averaged 129 against spin at more than 1.5 runs a ball, right? So there is an element of it. I think it goes a bit further than, you know, just on a very basic level of going, oh, you know, they shouldn't have let him go. It's far more complicated than that. And I give, you know, Saurabh isn't here and Varun isn't here, but they came up with sort of similar kinds of this. But I also think you have to think about the whole board. I don't think any of us three think that they were realistically in the KL Rahul business. There's a possibility, I suppose, they thought they could rehab Rishabh Pant. Right? But who had the better 2024 out of those two guys? I'm trying to remember what Rishabh Pant.
Rishabh had a couple of decent knocks, but was very average that season. It was his comeback season.
Is that the one where he made like a 80 or no, was it 80 or 90 in one game? Yeah.
I remembered it as a good season, but I was going through the true numbers. I believe he was at minus 6 for true striker. That good.
His raw numbers look good. They could have made that decision as well. It's possible that Rishabh Pant got away from them, right? But if you get to the point where Rishabh Pant has kind of already got past you as well, like now, once they didn't take Shreyas Iyer, and this is one of the other big things with the auction, is sometimes you have to make a bad decision early, right? So that you can structure the rest of your picks, right? And I think that perhaps what they did is they didn't want to make that decision. And so they've ended up in a situation where the future of KKR, none of us know what it is. Right?
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. Also, Jared, I feel like another issue is because they spent so much amount in retaining all the players, like they retained so many players, it already took out a big chunk of their purse. So they perhaps didn't want to spend a whole lot of money on Shreyas right at that point. But I don't know what happened later that they changed their mind suddenly when it came to Winky and paid him 23, which we all knew was not going to be the right call, right? Like,
my guess is, I'm just trying to have a look here, but my guess is that Venky's still quite early on day one, isn't he? So
yeah, I want to say he was batters one. So after the marquee set, he was right. He came right in.
Correct.
So
yeah, makes sense.
I just think that I'm not sure that Venky can obviously still improve from where he is at the moment. But I just find it very hard to think that you would ever think that he would have a higher ceiling than Shreyas.
No. I don't think that's the case once again. I genuinely think because they'd seen every other player already go by and in their heads, they probably thought Venky Iyer is the last option available. They probably didn't trade Ishan Kishan just as highly. They probably didn't trade Jitesh Sharma or Dhruv Jarrell. I mean, Dhruv Jarrell was retained.
You can't build a team around Jitesh, to be fair.
Exactly. So they probably then thought Venky Iyer is the last option available. He's already been a part of our setup. So there is a bit of that, you know, familiarity.
I would argue, though, you also can't build a side around Venky.
I think the
three guys that you can build a side around at this point, right, have to be Rishabh, Kale, and Shreyas, right?
Agreed.
Even with Ishan, I wouldn't say it's a flyer with Ishan because I thought he would come good at some stage in this mega auction.
Yeah.
But I don't think you're saying...
He's a maybe.
Yeah. He's a... We can pay him. Let's see how he goes. And let's be honest, he wasn't particularly good last year, Ishan.
He wasn't.
It's easy to have this conversation now, right?
Yeah.
But that's a little bit different. I'm just trying to see. You've got Jitesh. There really isn't that much else, is there?
Yeah. So that definitely played a role for both RCB. RCB always had Venky Iyer as part of their plans.
Yeah, I mean, they got him this season, okay, right?
Yeah, exactly. And another thing to add, like about KL Rahul, I actually do think KKR did have or did rate KL very highly because even before the season began, they really went after KL during the trade window. They were the one team extremely active when it came to approaching DC, approaching KL, because they knew they need a top order bat, they need a phase. They also
important. You're saying for this year, though?
Yeah, ahead of this year. So clearly they rated him, is what I want.
But they rate him now. My point is, I can see why they might rate him now, but that's because they've let Shreyas go, right?
Because if
they rated him then, he went for a ridiculously low amount compared to these other guys, right?
Yeah, that's true.
14 for KL is a good deal. I think I remember you saying that at the time that you take that any day. Like, that is a solid deal.
Seriously, yeah. I mean,
you hope that he becomes the KL that we saw for 15 minutes 10 years ago. But even if he doesn't, it's just the consistency. Exactly. You get the bank with him. Yeah, the thing about guys like, we're just having the toss, by the way. So we'll give you all the updates on that in a little while as they happen. But I think the thing about someone like KL is at least you know there is a guaranteed amount of runs coming, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, it's the same with Virat. Like, you know, with RCB, the problem with them was not that Virat was playing for them, right? It's that they didn't build the side around Virat in the way that if you're going to have a player like that, well, then you need to spend more money on bowling and everything else. Anyway, any final thoughts on this? And then we can turn our attention to this game.
No, I think... In some ways, Punjab going for him, I feel like, was interesting because they had Ricky Ponting and they also were going through an overhaul of sorts, were they not? And we've seen that Shreyas and Ponting have worked together. They've had some success with Delhi. I mean, they didn't win a title, but they had that good period where Delhi were making the playoffs and, you know, even made a final. But I know we've had some issues with Ponting's captain, with Ponting's coaching, I think, where maybe he turns players into anchors and all of that stuff. But I mean, you cannot
I've
deny
never
that
said
these
that
things.
Before, Cheyenne.
I mean, but we cannot deny that these things where you know who you're working with, right? Like that familiarity aspect always helps. I think that's an important role. And Punjab did a pretty good... They built their team around Shreyas. Like, that is exactly what they did they not? And then his big season finally came.
Yeah, I think just to sort of wrap it up, I think it's more complicated than most fans are making it, right?
Definitely.
And also, the one thing that we haven't talked about is I was pretty high on Shreyas in that season in 2024 because I thought we were seeing a breakthrough. But I could have been wrong. And the next year he could have come back and averaged 35 again at a strike rate of 150 when the league had changed, right? The fact is that since then he's had a strike rate of 170, which I don't even think I expected, right? I probably expected him to get to 155, right? So even though I was higher than most people on Shreyas Iyer, I didn't see that. And I think that we do have to remember, and I hope this podcast is, you know, sort of, you know, reminded people how complicated this stuff is, right?
Yeah.
And it's not always easy. And as actually I said before, there's a sense of chaos in the auctions that you can't really deny at all.
Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Ruckshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv.
If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.